Welcome to the Gathering Podcast, a ministry of First United Methodist Church in downtown Bentonville, Arkansas. My name is Ken Weatherford, the Director of Worship Arts here at the church, and as always, it's great to be with you. We hope you enjoy this week's episode of our weekly sermon podcast and ask that you would do us a favor and please share this with your friends and family on Facebook or Twitter. You can find us at www.fumcbentonville.org or by searching FUMC Gathering Podcast on iTunes.
Listen again to the Gospel of Matthew 16. Now, when Jesus came into the district with Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" And they said, "Some say John the Baptist, but others Elijah, and still others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." He said to them, "Who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Then he sternly ordered the disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Messiah. This is the gift of Scripture for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Before worship this morning, I was visiting with Don Seideman. Don was telling me about how he keeps busy during the week and watching a documentary on what it meant to be a Jew leading up to Jesus. And a great story he was telling me, Eric, did you realize how few people could read? A tiny percentage of people could read and write. Can you imagine what it would be like to live in a world where only a tiny percentage of people could read or write? Man, it would change everything, wouldn't it? But the people who could, that tiny percentage of people who could, imagine for a moment how important the words would be. For the rabbis, for the people that made commentaries on the scripture, the words were everything. Which lends even more power to the phrase that is as ancient as the commentaries that we have on Jewish scripture. The rabbis said that God is not found in the words. God is to be found in the white spaces in between the words. Oh, think about that for a moment. Where is God to be found? Matthew today takes that one step further, and I believe the way Matthew has crafted this part of his gospel, he's offering us a way to see that God is not found in the words themselves. God is to be found in the way he's crafted the words. So Matthew has chapter after chapter after chapter, story after story after story, and then it just stops right here. These long stories, and then he just offers us this little piece sitting there all by itself. It'd be like reading a novel and having 30-page chapter after 30-page chapter after 30-page chapter, and then quarter-page chapter, and then another 30-page chapter. And at the beginning of that next 30-page chapter, it says, "And from now on, everything was different." It's like Matthew is taking a spotlight and shining it right in on this little piece of text. He's taken a highlighter and highlighted it in yellow, and he's taken a laser beam and outlined it and said, "Pay attention. What could be so important?" Well, only the most important question that's ever been asked of human beings. Who do you say that Jesus is? And I believe if Matthew were standing here today, if Matthew were giving this sermon, he'd say there's another question that follows it that's maybe even more important. How are you answering that question so that people who aren't Christian can see how Jesus makes a difference in your life? How do people know you're Christian without words? And in order to get to those answers, I'd like to ask a third question. Today will be a sermon of questions, in a way. What could be the most important gift ever offered? If it were Jesus standing here and not me, and Jesus says, I offer you a gift, the greatest gift ever, what would you hope that gift would be? My soul. Yes, you're getting very close. That's a great answer. That is the question that Jesus was asking the crowds. That is the gift that Jesus was asking the crowds. And Matthew tells us the crowds came from everywhere. Matthew chapter 4, verse 27 begins with, and the crowds came to see him. They came from Judea, from Jerusalem, from across the Jordan, from the Decapolis. Now, the Decapolis is kind of a general term. It means the place where all the Jews have been spread out. So literally from as far as human word could travel is as far as people had come to hear Jesus and see if he was the one who could offer the gift. Now these crowds, if we look at the crowds from above, if we had a drone and we could look down on them, we'd see circles, concentric circles, like a bullseye. Sorry for you Walmart people, but it looked kind of just like that Target logo. An outer ring, and in that outer ring is the first group, the crowd that wants to see who this guy is. But they don't want to get too close. See, if they got too close, he might talk to them. And if he talked to them, well, he might ask them to do something. And they're not quite sure they want to do anything yet. They just want to see if this is the guy. Then there's that next ring in. This is the ring where people are ready to get close enough to Jesus, even if it means they might have to change because they're desperate. They're desperate to see if this might be the Messiah. They're desperate to go fight those Romans. They're desperate to take up swords and follow Jesus into the battle and finally drive those oppressive Romans away. They're desperate for healing. They're desperate for change in their life. But when they get close to Jesus, it's kind of like they're a magnet, a bar magnet with the plus sign aimed right at Jesus, and Jesus is another magnet with the plus sign aimed back. And they get close and they bounce back. They just can't quite convince themselves to change in order to do what Jesus is asking them to do. And Jesus is standing right there inside the inner ring, and he's saying, turn around, metanoia, change the way you see the world. Put all of your focus on God. Spin around, and I will attract you so hard we'll never be separated. But only a handful of people do. Only a tiny handful of people are willing to change everything and enter the inner ring. And it's to those people that Jesus is speaking today as he walks with them up to Caesarea. Who do the crowds say that I am? Peter, always the first to respond, says, well, you know that outer ring? They're not quite sure. They're just getting close enough to check you out. But that inner ring, you know, the next one in, they think you're a prophet, perhaps. Isaiah, Elijah, maybe. Some of them even think you're John the Baptist, come back from the dead already. But then the most important question ever asked. Who do you say that I am? You're the living Son of God. You're God incarnate. You're God in human flesh. You are the Son of Man. And Jesus says, Peter, blessed are you, because human mouths did not speak these words to you. By the fact that you know this shows you've received the greatest gift, a relationship with God. The fact that you know this means that you can hear God whispering to you and recognize the Holy Spirit's voice. Peter, you truly have received the greatest gift because you can hear the Holy Spirit and you are following the lead of the Spirit. And Peter had changed everything to enter this inner ring. Like everyone who crosses that line and stays there, Peter left his occupation. Now, it helps to understand the context of the time. Tiberias is a new capital being built on the Sea of Galilee. And Herod wants Tiberias to be the jewel of his network of cities. So the taxes are obscene. The taxes are crushing everybody. Almost everything that the fishermen are catching is going to pay for the construction of Tiberias and similar cities. And Peter can't make enough to live. And because of the excessive fishing, the fish are getting harder to catch. Peter's starting to become desperate. Peter's losing hope. And then Jesus says, Peter, come. I'm offering you a new way of life. I'm offering you a new vocation. Come, follow me. See what that might be. Peter's just desperate enough to leave everything behind. Walk away. His life had been rubble. His life had been crushed. Just debris laying on the road. And Jesus says, out of this debris, I am going to take a rock called Peter and make it the foundation upon which I build my kingdom. Out of the debris, Jesus lifts Peter up. And that is exactly what happens to everybody who enters the inner ring. All of the disciples in all time. Matthew, tax collector, abused his people. Made profit off of his people, the Jew, the traitor. He worked for the Romans. Leaves that job behind. Changes that life. Leaves everything to follow Jesus. James and John, they leave family and friends. Their dad's fishing business to follow Jesus. Paul. Saul, to begin with, is the Pharisee. Beyond all Pharisees. He knows the rules. He knows who God loves and he knows who God hates. And there is no doubt he's going to do everything he can to kill the people that God hates until he meets Jesus. And everything changes when he enters that inner ring. And he realizes the people that he once hated are the people that God loves so much that he's now going to spend the rest of his life pouring his heart out for them. Loving his former enemies, to the point of dying for them. Oh, that is the greatest gift, a relationship with God that changes everything. What does this look like? How do we get there? We get there by asking questions. Asking questions like, what is stopping us from conversing with everyone who serves us in some way? Getting to know them, showing them that we care for them as a human being. Every cashier, waitstaff, clerk, everyone we meet. What is stopping us from giving without expecting something in return? What is stopping us from giving love to everyone we meet without expecting anything in return? What is stopping us from serving others in some way? And I'd say every day, but I mean, every week's a start. What is stopping us from choosing to see the potential good in every human being we meet? Because that good, that God, is in every human being we meet. What is stopping us from eliminating gossip? What is stopping us from eliminating the judgment and labeling of people? What is stopping us from admitting that how we are living just might not be how God wants us to live? What is stopping us from studying the way that God wants us to live? What is stopping us from attending at least one Bible study every season? And what is stopping us from deciding that church on Sunday morning is more important than any other competing activity? What is stopping us from making our Christian family the center of our lives? What is stopping us from putting a relationship with Christ first in everything in our lives? What would that look like? Well, it looked like a little village tucked away in the Alps, a farming village, and their crop is apples. They're the premier apple orchard community in all of the land. And it's a rich town because of the apples. It draws people from near and far. And the apples, well, they produce apple butter and applesauce and preserves. So when the fresh apples aren't available, people still come to this town. And in one of the largest orchards during harvest season, the family offers, well, they've made enough. They don't need any more, really. So they offer generous pay, and they allow every one of their employees to take a bushel basket of apples or a gunny sack of apples home with them every day after work so that they can make preserves to sell for the rest of the year. And there's a woman that's been working for this family her entire life. Now she's getting old, and she has a hard time walking. And there's no way to say this nicely. She is a nasty, nasty old lady. Nobody likes her. Every year, the kids have tried to help her carry her apples home, hoping that she might give them a little reward for carrying her bag of apples. And she always screams at them as soon as she gets home, "Now go away, I didn't offer you a reward." So the boys in town, you know, they've turned their back on her. And the parents have turned their back on her. But this year, she can hardly even walk home. And one of the boys, enterprising as he is, says, "This is the year I'm going to carry her bag and she's going to pay me." And he walks up to her and asks her first day after the harvest and says, "Ma'am, can I carry your apples home today?" Seeing a sucker, knowing the sucker the minute she sees him, she says, "Yes, that'd be wonderful. Thank you so much. You're such a wonderful young man." And he carries the bag home for her. And as soon as they get to her house, she says, "Give me my apples. Don't expect any reward from me. I didn't ask you to carry my apples." So he goes home filled with anger, filled with rage that he got used. Well, the town draws migrant workers. Huge harvest. The harvest is a record. The migrant workers are streaming in, and this family gets a job, and new boy in town, he doesn't know the rules. He doesn't know that this lady abuses everybody, so he walks up to her and sees her struggling underneath her bag, because now she's really working it, hoping that maybe she can get some other sucker to come carry the bag. And she sees him. Ah! Another victim. And he takes the apples from her and says, Grandma, you're struggling. Let me carry your apples for you." And she said, "Oh, that'd be so nice." And all the way home, he's telling her about God. "Grandma, did you see God paint the sky this morning? Oh, the sky, when we got up, it was so beautiful. The stars, it was crystal clear. It was like a painting that God made for us. Did you hear the crickets and the cicadas? Did you hear everything chirping and singing? It was God was singing to us as we worked today. Oh, Grandma, look at the fields. God has painted these fields for us." And finally she said, enough of this God talk. "My life is hard. It's miserable. Nobody pays any attention to me. I'm old and I'm tired and I hurt. My family has left me. And you tell me there's a God? You tell me there's a God in this? With all the evil in the world, how could there be a God?" The boy stops and looks at her. He says, "Huh, I guess you and I just completely look at the world differently. I don't look at the world that way at all. I guess you choose to see all the bad things. So if you choose to see all the bad things, I guess that's all you're going to see. I choose to see God. I choose to see the good in everyone. I choose to see the good in everything. And that way I see the God in everything." And they walked home. And the woman didn't say a word. And as they got to the house, she looked at the boy, paused for a moment, and then pushed at him and said, "Give me my apples, and don't expect any reward. I didn't ask you to carry these." And he said, "Reward? Oh, Grandma, you've already given me the greatest reward. I got to spend an hour talking about God with you. It was the greatest hour of my life. Tell you what, tomorrow I'm going to meet you and I'll carry your apples home tomorrow too. And she stopped and she looked at him and said, who are you? He said, oh, Grandma, I'm just a beloved child of God. And so are you.
Thanks again for joining us on the Gathering Podcast. If you're in the Northwest Arkansas area, come and join us for worship at First United Methodist Church in downtown Bentonville. We have services at 8:30, 8:45, 9:45, and 11 o'clock each Sunday morning. Grace and peace, y'all.